Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH. Streaming live on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home. I found out an easy way, a great way, to cut down on the traffic in Seattle due to Amazon. At least temporarily. Fire 1,000 activists within the company. That is what's trending.
What's trending in Amazonia?
We told you yesterday of these plans for May 31st for a walkout. A walkout at the Seattle headquarters for Amazon. Now, the organizers, according to various reports, whomever they are, because it seems to be kind of on the DL who is organizing this, they apparently want about 1,000 people to join, at least 1,000 people to join, and they would presume that to be a success. It seems like if you even got 100 people to step out of work, that would actually be seen as significant. But obviously, 1,000 is a lot. And what this boils down to, as much as they will tell you it's about a whole host of things, climate change, it's about the layoffs. No, no. This is specifically about the return to work mandates. That's what this is really about. These are people who are generally younger generations of workers, lazy younger workers, who are basically upset that they have to brush their teeth and shower and then drive to work or bus or bike. That's really what this is about. They don't want to go back to the office. Now, they're not all younger who are complaining. There are plenty of older, lazy workers. Some of them got used to working from home. Others had hoped that it was going to stay the new norm, not having to go back into the office, never really having to leave your home, never having to get out of your bedroom or off your patio where you set up your little laptop and you're pretending to be as efficient there as you would be in the office. Como TV went down to Amazon HQ and found some random Amazon employees to just gauge where they're at.
I think it's just a new change. You know, people were becoming, you know, comfortable, you know, working from home.
They're comfortable working from home. Okay. Now you can get comfortable again working from the office. It's not like all of a sudden they're asking you to do something that you didn't already do, right? The vast majority of the people who we're talking about had these jobs pre-COVID. I would understand to a point if this was your first job out of college and it started during the pandemic and you were working from home because you don't really have any frame of reference as to what it would be, what it would do to you and your lifestyle if you had to go into the office. Right. I get it, I guess. But this isn't something that's innovative, that's changing and disrupting the system. It's just going into the office like an adult. We have an entitlement complex issue in this country. It's not exclusive to younger workers, but it's primarily younger workers. They feel like they are owed everything and anything, that their feelings actually matter, that they are due something from the employer. It used to be, despite the best efforts of Democrats, it used to be a little bit different of a power dynamic between the employer and the employee, where the employer got to call the shots because they're the ones who are taking the risks. The business owners, the managers who hire you, they're giving you a lot of money or little money, depending on your job, and they're taking a risk on you that you'll do the job effectively. And if you don't, well, they're out X amount of dollars and they're going to have to replace you and then find someone to replace you and start the whole system over again and spend a lot of money on that. But now, thanks to Democrat efforts, a lot of it having to do with unions, they've shifted the power dynamic significantly. It hasn't been turned upside down, but we've given a lot more power to the workers and they started to take advantage. Because now, when we talk about work-life balance, we're not talking about what we talked about 10 years ago or maybe 15 years ago when work-life balance as a concept started to really take shape. They want an imbalance. They want the imbalance benefiting the personal instead of the work, the life instead of the work. They want to work less hours, and the fewer hours that they work, they want to work from a location of their choosing. And they demand higher pay. They'll often say, we demand a living wage. Okay, what is that? $112,000. Well, it's a little more than a living wage. Anyone who doesn't make $112,000, they would like to make $112,000. I get it. I totally understand. Doesn't mean you're worth that. Ironically, when we're talking about Amazon, a lot of the people we're talking about, they're making that and more. But they have the audacity to say, I don't want to go back into the office.
People are not happy about, you know, coming back to work.
Oh. It's kind of hard for people who really moved out of the city and who have responsibilities.
What responsibilities do you have right now that you didn't have 2 years ago? Did you take on that responsibility? Well, who's going to take the dogs out? We got a dog. Okay, congratulations. There are apps that can help you out if you don't know anyone who can walk your dog and doesn't, but it's going to get lonely. Okay, well, you do know you can bring your dog to work at Amazon. Yeah, but I don't want to. Okay. There's plenty of excuses. You made the choice to move out of Seattle, or at least move farther away from the office. Again, I understand why you did that. I totally get it. But you were fooling yourselves if you guys thought that we weren't going to return back to in the office workforce. Like, you're fooling yourself. In fairness, they were given mixed signals because you had some Democrats who just refused to let go of some of the mandates, and they went very, 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 very far past when any of them should even have been thought as possibly maybe necessary. So we did send some mixed messages, but did anyone realistically, like, think about this honestly. Did you really think that we would never go back to normal? Who actually thought that? Did you?
I didn't.
Right? And it's not even for us, because we always had to come into the office.
I worked from home maybe like 5 days total.
Yeah. So for other people, didn't you always know they were coming back? Maybe we didn't know the timeline, which is fair, right? I get it. But you made the choice to move somewhere else. That's on you. And I know some people, they talked about, there were earlier stories late in the first year of the pandemic, maybe early second year, when there were these reports about how some folks were moving completely out of King County, Snohomish County. They're getting out of Pierce County. They were going to places in Mason County. Some people were moving to Clark County. Some people were moving to Thurston County because it's much cheaper to live there. And when you're stuck at home and it's the middle of a pandemic, you definitely don't want to be in a little tiny box of a studio that you're spending $2,800 a month on. So you moved. I get it. You made that decision. Decisions have consequences. And if you don't want to return to the office, there's a very simple thing you can do. Quit. Go work somewhere else. Go work somewhere that maybe is better aligned with your philosophy of work, which apparently is not going into the office. Okay. I'm assuming there are still some tech companies out there that allow for that. Go work there. Yeah, but I like my job. Okay. Well, then go into the office. I don't want to. Okay. Too bad. You really don't have a choice. If you're right at the end of the day, if you don't want to quit, then you have no choice. You're going to go back into the office or you're going to get fired. I think Amazon should fire every single person, who decides to walk out, if they in fact do. And they should go out of their way to investigate who's responsible for organizing this. Fire them. Fire them publicly. Do it in front of the spheres. Do it in front of the globes.
That would be fun.
I want it like a, not an execution, but I guess an execution of their career. Do it publicly. Send a message. We're not okay with this. Because these are the kinds of people who are toxic for work culture. Absolutely toxic. Because they're going to be complaining nonstop. Oh, I don't want to be in the office, to everyone else who's in the office. They're going to be complaining nonstop. And they're going to try to bring people over to their side. They're going to campaign nonstop. Wouldn't it be better if we could work from the home, from the office, from our home offices? Wouldn't it be better? It was so much better. They're going to do that nonstop. And while doing that, some of it will be subtle, some of it won't be. They might win some people over. And then instead of dealing with this one insufferable young worker, you got two or three or four within a team. And then it becomes dysfunctional. So if I'm Amazon, I'm firing every single one of them. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? National.
So we've got the debt ceiling talks continuing. It sounds like they're not yet even close to be. They're not even in the same state. That's how much room there is between them on what Republicans want and what Democrats want. They're going to have to compromise. Both sides are going to have to compromise if they want this to pass. But it depends on how much they're willing to compromise before it becomes a significant political headache for their own party. Because there are Democrats within the progressive movement who do not want any compromise whatsoever. And you can't afford to lose too many of those Democrats. You're going to, obviously, if you're a Republican in the House, you need to win X amount of Democrats over. If you're in the Senate, you got to win X amount of Democrats over. You want this to be bipartisan. And you want to get as many as possible. And Biden wants that too, because he'll be able to campaign off of that. Look what I did. Look at our negotiations. Got bipartisan support because I'm a negotiator. But if you lose the progressive caucus led by Pramila Jayapal, that's a headache. That's a nightmare. And they're the folks who call everything that's proposed by Republicans as extremist. They're still doing the MAGA Republican thing, which, my God, can we not retire that? Ugh. All these MAGA Republicans are extremists. Yeah, okay, we got it. And today, talking to CNN, Pramila Jayapal basically put out the alert to her Antifa base, basically saying, we're about to get on the streets. We're about to take to the streets. Because if you allow Joe Biden, if you allow this, people are going to be upset.
I think there would be a huge backlash from our entire House Democratic, you know, caucus, certainly the progressives, but also in the streets. You know, I mean, I think that this is, it's important that we don't take steps back from the very strong agenda that the president himself shepherded and led over the last 2 years.
They don't want anything. No cuts whatsoever. All they want are more taxes. And that apparently is a big part of why they haven't moved anywhere, is that the Democrats under Biden and his negotiators, they're asking for higher taxes, which Republicans are not going to go for. They're just not going to do that. But someone's going to have to move somewhere, and it's going to make someone unhappy. If you make these people unhappy, the Pramila Jayapals of the world, they're going to try to get people to take to the streets. And if they had their way, it would be the Antifa lunatics, just there as a reminder that if you ever cross us, we're going to get violent and we're going to tear your city down. Now, the good news, bad news in this is, the good news is for most people who live in Republican-led cities, they're not going to destroy your town. They're not going to be marching on your streets. Pramila Jayapal's district in Seattle, that gets impacted. And she doesn't care about Seattle. She cares about her own national brand. She cares about the progressive cause. She hasn't done anything for Seattle. She stands for an ideology. So the good news for some people is not going to impact you. The bad news is it could impact you, and it could impact businesses. And we could end up going down that pathway again of out-of-control activism that is not really activism so much as it is terrorism, where the media will pretend it's not actually happening. And, of course, they'll side with the progressives in all of this. They are rounding up the troops right now. And the funny thing is, the only one who would get passionate enough to take to the streets over the debt limit, debt ceiling, would be the Antifa base, right? The average person, Democrat or Republican, number one, isn't paying that close attention to this. The average person can't tell you what the debt ceiling debate is about. They have no idea. But if you told them what it was about and you simply said, hey, instead of constantly raising our debt ceiling, why don't we say we'll cut some spending? Maybe we'll disagree on what to cut, but we have to identify something. I think most people would find that reasonable. Certainly, Let's say you were against that. You're just, you don't like cuts for whatever reason. Are you really passionate enough to take to the streets? No. The average person? Of course not. This isn't something that's going to move them. So who's she talking to? Who's she talking about? She's talking about the most extreme elements within the progressive movement. That's Antifa. I'm sure she can pretend otherwise. Of course, she's proud of that clip. She posted it on her Twitter account because she thinks she's somehow the voice of the people. No, she's the voice of maybe Antifa activists, Antifa thugs, but that's about it. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
Apparently, there was another white supremacist attack that just so happens to feed into the national narrative coming out of the White House and left-wing media. And just like the last one, this white supremacist weirdly wasn't white. I feel like maybe there's a branding issue with the term white supremacist and maybe just come up with something new. Why not just call it political terrorism or political violence? Because I think that's a problem. And that's all encompassing, right? Political violence covers a white supremacist who is politically motivated, but also covers Antifa, who's also politically motivated. So a man was arrested overnight after not quite slowly driving into barricades around the White House, but I've seen various reports that said he wasn't quite speeding either. Crashes into the barricades. It was done intentionally, according to the police. And then he peacefully gave up. It's very weird how this all happened. Happened just after midnight East Coast time. I was on Fox News at night last night when this story broke. So it happened around 9:15, 9:30 hour time. And we started to learn more about the suspect, who it turns out is a 19-year-old from Chesterfield, Missouri. I used to vacation there as a child.
Did you really?
No.
Okay.
His name is Sai Varseith Kandula. Traditionally not a white supremacist name. I feel like if you're a white supremacist, your name is Tom or Johnny. Probably not Sai Varseith Kandula. He's not a white guy. And according to the reports and the images that were just so perfectly captured, he had a Nazi flag in the truck. A Nazi flag that looked brand new and weirdly enough, not that I fall into conspiracy theories and think this is some false flag issue. I don't. But I've never, ever, ever seen a crime scene in which an officer or an investigator, in this case, I believe it was Secret Service, pulls out the evidence and then plants it perfectly in place in front of the media to take photos of. I've never seen that before. I've never seen that. And yet that's what happened here. So media outlets were able to get a picture of the Nazi flag, the swastika, and then they got to continue the narrative about the white supremacy threat. And then, of course, you've got bad faith activists who pretend to be law enforcement officials like Andrew McCabe. He was on CNN and he tried to make the jump to January 6th. And of course, CNN anchors were shocked.
And I think you have to draw a line from this apparent attack on the White House by someone bearing a Nazi flag to at least some of the people. It's hard to say how many, but some of the people involved in the January 6th attack on the Capitol. How do we know that? Because some of those folks were carrying the same sort of symbols, Nazi flags, Confederate flags, things like that, that show you a commonality of ideology. It doesn't mean that they all know each other and they were all planning those two events together, but it shows you there is a thread of extremism and particularly racially motivated extremism in this country that is also now directed at institutions of government. So these are things that our security that professionals are very focused on right now. And as we saw last night, for good reason.
It's terrifying. Andrew McCabe, thank you for all that.
It's terrifying. I'm terrified. Could you tell?
Yeah, you're quaking.
Like I'm shaking. I'm shaking right now. I'm being honest. I don't know how to move forward. I'm terrified. You know what I couldn't stop thinking about as he was talking there? Remember the clip last week of Dan Goldman, the congressman from New York, going after our friend Julio Rosas?
Yeah.
Claiming that Antifa doesn't exist basically because there's not a head of a national organization, Mr. Antifa himself or they Antifa themselves. and calling all the shots. He's basically making the same argument, right? He's saying that white supremacy exists, but we're supposed to believe it in this case as just single actors, or it doesn't necessarily mean they know each other. Some of them do, some of them don't, and they're motivated by this. So aren't we okay calling that white supremacy? Why aren't we okay saying Antifa? It works exactly the same way. There's not a group called white supremacy. We call them white supremacists because of an ideological belief that they have tucked in with their bigotry. That is their position. And we label them as white supremacists. Now, do they have to belong to some group? Whatever the group is, right? Do they have to? Does this guy belong to any group? Or was he acting solo? Let's just say he was acting solo for the sake of argument. Okay. Should you label him a white supremacist? What group is he a part of? Isn't it just an ideology? It's weird how all of this kind of works, isn't it? And they know it on the left when they make their silly arguments. They know it. Pretending Antifa doesn't exist would be as silly as pretending white supremacy doesn't exist. It exists, not to the extent that they want you to believe. I don't think white supremacy specifically is the biggest domestic threat. Political violence is. And we saw it unfold for 2 years during the BLM riots that we were supposed to pretend were all peaceful protests. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. Don't forget, you get to decide the story I discuss in the third segment at 4:45. Story number one, Target holds emergency meeting over LGBTQ merchandise because they want to avoid the Bud Light situation. Or Hunter Biden, his mistress, asks the court to jail him over the custody battle. Yeah, that's going to happen. Text your answer. Which story do you want me to discuss? 1-800-465-8770. It's the Jason Rant Show.
Sammamish, Lakewood, Bellevue.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Bellingham, Kirkland, Z-Town.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services. They're online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle and instead focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. We start in Lynnwood, where a man was shot and killed. A woman he was with was shot and injured when they allegedly tried to steal a truck outside of the Best Western Alderwood. It's right by the Lynnwood Event Center. Happened around 2:30 this morning. A man was staying at the hotel. He said he woke up as he heard what sounded like a diesel truck being started. Turns out it was his. So he looks out, he realizes, yep, it's being stolen. He runs out, he confronts the two alleged thieves and apparently fired his gun at them. Caro 7 TV says Lynnwood officers arrived 2 minutes later to find a large truck with its engine still running. It was resting against the corner of a building and a man was slumped over in the driver's seat. A woman was sitting outside the truck with what appeared to be gunshot wounds. Police say the couple got to the hotel in a stolen car from Burien because, of course. Now, the man, the one who was shot and killed, he's in his 30s. The woman, they didn't give an age, but they say she was shot twice and then taken to a nearby hospital. So she's going to be okay. Now, there's so many different angles to this story. And we should start with the fact that from a legal standpoint, it's going to be a little tricky for this guy, for the shooter. It would certainly be tricky and probably against him in King County. Snohomish County Prosecutor Jason Cummings, much more sane when it comes to this kind of thing. But the question will become, because it'll be a self-defense defense, did you have to shoot him? Did you have to shoot either of these people? Yeah, they stole your car. Awful. But generally, we don't say that that is, I mean, a cop is not going to shoot at someone stealing a car. So why did you shoot them? What happened beyond just catching them steal your car? Was the car about to hit the man? Like they got in, they started to drive off, they were coming after him and he fired? Clearly self-defense. Did they have weapons? Were the weapons brandished? That would clearly be self-defense. Was there reason for him to think either of them had weapons? Reasonably think that. That could also be self-defense. But if it was just seeing them in the car and then firing at them, I don't know if this ends well for this guy. I hope it ends well. Because while I don't think you should shoot people stealing a car, I certainly understand it. I don't think it's right, but I get it. In fact, and I've said this before, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often, things like this. I'm honestly surprised it doesn't happen more. And the truth is, from a criminal standpoint, they know, what do they know about cops? They know that they're not going to be able to be pulled over. They can just continue to drive away. They're 90% certain, depending on where it is they're stealing the car, that even if they were to get caught, they're not going to serve any jail time. And if they do, it'll be a weekend. Like, it'll be something very insignificant. So they know that about cops. But if all of a sudden things like this happen, and again, I'm not promoting it, but if this did happen more often, that would be a disincentive. They know cops won't shoot them. But if all of a sudden they're like, oh, okay, I got to be a little bit more careful because the person I'm stealing from, there's been a lot of those stories of them shooting. Now, that also could end poorly, right? That could just encourage the bad guy to carry a gun, which is why, again, it's not like I'm endorsing this, but we're kind of at the point where we need a disincentive. And if the public doesn't think that the cops are disincentives anymore for this to continue, they're going to start acting out on their own. And we've had a few stories in which people were doing this on their own. Not a ton, but we've had a few. And it's possible that that few becomes many, and then a ton. And that does not sound like a safe place to be, because I don't want to just be walking home and just random people shooting at each other because, well, the cops aren't going to do anything. Meanwhile, is his name Iam?
Yeah, I believe so.
Iam Tongi. I don't watch American Idol. I see ads for it, and each time I say to myself, still on? What? Come on, move on. Well, Iam Tongi won the latest season of American Idol, and the reason why we're talking about him on this show is that he is someone who goes to Decatur High School. So that, you know, he's local, Federal Way. That's, yeah.
Woo! Yeah.
Go, whatever your team mascot is. He got on the show with a rendition of James Blunt's song Monsters. He sang it in tribute to his late father. I think it's about a father who dies and dealing with it. On the finale, because I know I watched a few seasons, I think, all the way through. I've certainly seen finales. Once you're already in and the voting is done, the last night you just get to basically do a concert. You get, I think, three songs each or two, something like that. And one of them is a duo with a combination of who they can actually book and someone who means something to you. Now, American Idol, because it's seen by a lot of people, it's generally easy to book some folks. I would book a very low-key band that no one's ever heard of just to give them some love. I do the Giant Rooks. That's what I would do. See, do you know who they are?
I do, actually. That's a good pull.
It's a great pull. Their album is outstanding. I didn't realize people knew who they were because I found them completely by accident. And then I was in a Starbucks and I heard them play. I was like, oh, maybe it's not as cool to like them. How about Leoniden?
No.
Okay, I would go with Leoniden. They're all the bands I'm listening to right now are all German. I have no idea why. It's rather ironic, but they're all German. So he goes and performs during the finale. He gets James Blunt. Yeah, James is Blunt. Is that the album name? They're there and they're singing and they're all crying at the end of the song and everyone in the audience is crying just because we want to make people at home feel uncomfortable. Let's see if this kid can sing. I don't like it.
Oh,
let's turn off our music.
Before they don't turn ruin it. Off all the lights,
is this Iam or James?
I won't read it's honestly hard to tell.
Who is it?
I think this is James.
The time is gone. I'll tell you good night.
Okay, that's gotta be him. Cause he's not as good.
Tell you I love you once more. The time is gone.
Oh, stop clapping. He's trying to sing.
So here it is. I'm not your son.
That's James.
You're not my father. We're just two grown men saying goodbye.
Doesn't rhyme.
No need to forgive. No need to forget. I know your mistakes and you know mine. And while you're sleeping, I'll try to make you proud.
Okay.
So, Daddy, won't you just close your eyes?
Do I have to listen to the whole thing?
If you want.
I don't. It's, you know, it's okay. Not really my cup of tea. It's, you know, good for him. I feel like I could do better if I'm being totally upfront. People don't realize that I am also a singer and I play guitar.
I was wondering why you had that guitar in there.
Well, now you're going to find out. I'm going to actually perform acoustic and I'm going to prove to the world that I am way better. What's his name? Than Iam Tongi. And American Idol, you can be any age. Even pretend 28. I can go.
That
so turn
out.
Down the music for a second. Let me grab. Hold on. Let me get my. I got to move the microphone here. Let me get this other microphone. Hold on 1 second. Okay. You think this is going to pick up?
Yeah, I think it'll work.
Okay.
Wow, that's really good.
While so calm and all these hearts
really getting into character.
From self-control, your legs are smooth as they graze mine. We're doing fine, we're doing nothing at all. My hopes are so high that your kiss might kill me. So won't you kill me? So I die happy.
See?
Wow.
Told you.
That was good.
I bet you didn't think I could hit some of those notes.
When the hook came, I was a little bit surprised.
Right? You were a little wonder because you know that song. It's, of course, a Dashboard Confessional song that I just did. Was I not better?
You were better. You were better than the guy that won.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I have range, by the way.
And you're not from Federal Way.
Exactly. I'm representing Brooklyn, I guess. Well, technically Porter Ranch, California, but also now Seattle. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. But I have range. And something tells me that, what's his name? Iam Tongi? He doesn't have range. He can do the James Blunt songs, right? But right there, I just did sort of almost an emo, because it's Dashboard Confessional. It's a little bit of an emo song, but I can even do some old school vocals. So can I do one more time?
Yeah, if you want to. Sure, we got a little bit of time.
I feel like people are impressed. Hold on, let me get this set up again. Okay, it's set up.
It's so boring. A lot can change in 20 seconds. A lot can happen in the dark. Love when it makes you lose your bearings. Some information's not for sharing. Use different names at hotel check-ins. It's hard to stop it once it starts.
That was good. If I don't say so myself.
I was impressed. That is range. By definition, that's range.
100%. You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. But please, let's congratulate Iam Tongi. Because he can play one song well. He doesn't have the vocal stylings of Jason Rantz. That's all I'm saying. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to sing me your praises via text message. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, you pick the news. Story number one, Target is holding an emergency meeting over some of their LGBTQ merchandise because they want to avoid a quote-unquote Bud Light situation. Or Hunter Biden mistress asks court to jail president's son over custody court battle. Which story should I discuss? Send me your answer. 1-800-465-8770.
You pick the topic on the Jason Rantz Show.
Indeed you do, and you are allowing me to discuss what Fox News is saying are emergency meetings that are being handled at different Target locations, concerned that they're going to find themselves in a Bud Light situation. And it all stems from a number of videos, mostly shared on TikTok, but I've seen a lot on Twitter. I'm starting to see a lot more on Twitter around LGBTQ-themed clothing for children. Now, I've seen some people complain about what I don't think is a big deal. They show like an LGBT pride shirt for kids. And while I understand that some people might think that that is trying to encourage kids to be gay, number one, you're born gay. You can't just be encouraged to be gay. The gender identity confusion 100% is something that can be pushed on people. But we are heading into Gay Pride Month. And if you've got like two dads or two mothers, if you've got a family member who is lesbian or gay or whatever, I imagine that's what those shirts are truly intended for. That's my guess. And there is nothing wrong with having a shirt that has rainbow colors, that has a message that says that they support the LGBT community. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. There is, however, something wrong, in my view, with, especially with kids, selling them, quote-unquote, tuck-friendly bathing suits. Tucking the... You get it?
I do. Yeah. It was on the TV screen in one of the last segments, and you used the phrase tucked in. Yeah. In reference to something else, and I laughed.
I did that intentionally.
I know.
Some Southern Target stores, according to Fox News, were forced by the corporation to move LGBTQ pride merchandise away from the front of their locations after customer outrage in order to avoid a quote-unquote Bud Light situation. They say many Target locations across the country feature massive June Pride Month displays on an annual basis, with items this year ranging from tuck-friendly bathing suits for transgender people to mugs that say gender fluid. But the retail juggernaut has been criticized by some conservatives for the displays, with children's items particularly irking many customers. One insider from Target told Fox News that mostly in rural areas, a bunch of locations had to relocate their pride sections because they wanted to avoid getting caught up in any of the culture war issues. They say that there were quote-unquote emergency calls on Friday of last week that some managers and senior directors for districts were told, hey, why don't we chill out a little bit? You do realize where you're located. Yeah, this is not the middle of Seattle. This is not a Target in the Castro district. Why don't you pull it in just a little bit. Tuck it in just a little bit with some of this nonsense. You're going a little bit over the top there. The insider said, we were given 36 hours, told to take all of our pride stuff, the entire section, and move it into a section that's a third the size. From the front of the store to the back of the store, you can't have anything on mannequins and no large signage. We call our customers guests. There's outrage on their part. This year, it's just exponentially more than any other year. I think given the current situation with Bud Light, the company is terrified of a Bud Light situation. They say this individual has apparently worked at Target for two decades, which indicates there's some level of seniority. I'm assuming it's a manager, maybe in senior management for a district or a region. This person said the Target rarely makes such hasty decisions. And yet this 10-minute emergency call was all about, quote unquote, how to deal with team member safety, because they fear that some of the backlash could lead to violence, which is it's true that it can lead to violence, and that is a disgusting position for anyone who's outraged by any of this. To get violent is disgusting. It's not called for. It's never justified, no matter how disgusting you might find some of this material being sold. And I get why people are uncomfortable. I'm looking right now at an image of one of the swimsuits, the Pride-themed swimsuits. One is set, it says, it's tuck-friendly construction, but also extra crotch coverage. So if you are a transgender female who has not gone through any kind of surgical procedure, so you're still intact, they're giving you a little bit of extra space, because I don't know if you're familiar with women's bathing suits, but on the below-the-belt portion is usually there's not a lot of material, because you don't have that much mass that you're covering up when you're a biological woman. But if you're a male, do we have to go through this, or do you know the rest?
I think I can figure this one out.
So they have.
I appreciate the thoroughness.
There's a little bit more that they call crotch coverage, which I thought when I saw that first, I thought it was a joke. I thought they were just making that language up to explain it. No, it's on there. It's literally on the tag. The insider says the call was super quick. It was 15 minutes. The first 10 minutes was about how to keep your team safe and not having to advocate for Target. The last five was, quote, move this to the back, take down the mannequins, and remove the signage. Said the bathing suits have been replaced. And they've just been taken out. It's all under the guise of trying to increase swim sales. Everyone was like, thank God we're on the front lines dealing with this. Now, that part's kind of interesting to me. Right now and into all of next month, there's going to be corporation after corporation after corporation coming out the way that they did with BLM, claiming that they are big supporters of the LGBT community, that they wear pride on their sleeves. Look, a literal pride sticker on my sleeve. Like, they're going to be doing that because they want to increase sales. That's it. They don't care about the issue. They might have people who are supporters. They might have others who are not. They might have some who just don't care. But ultimately, this is about increasing sales, and that's it. And the companies that only do it, who only take these positions and make these proclamations and sell these products during late May into all of June, and then afterward, they just completely go away, then you know exactly where they stand, which is, I just want to take your money. I'm jumping into a cause. That's it. I'm virtue signaling, and we hope to make some money off of it. And that's where the danger is. Because that's what happened with Bud Light. And that's why you've got some people who are concerned in Target leadership, wondering what's going to happen next. The reason why Bud Light had the reaction that it had was because it was out of the ordinary. It's not something that they normally would promote, Dylan Mulvaney. Target doesn't normally do this except for one time a year. And that's what they're doing here at a precarious time when it comes to the culture wars, and they likely will get punished for this. How much? I don't know. I don't know what the loyalty is to Target versus what it was to Bud Light. But I was surprised by what happened with Bud Light. So let's see what happens here with Target. And as importantly, let's see what happens moving forward with all the other companies that are just jumping for some attention during Pride Month. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. It's a Jason Rant Show.